Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Shooter's ready. Stand by.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm joined by my co-host, Frank Gao, and I have a very special guest, E. Schertz. I recently met E at the Tactical Games team event at Peacemaker National Training Center. I showed up to say hi to James Gill, who was out there conducting a tune-up, and I ended up sticking around to help out. One thing I've noticed as an instructor is that there are students who are extremely coachable and then some who aren't. But E, on the other hand, she could definitely put the skills that she just learned to the test, which is rather rare among competitive marksmen. You quite struck me as a good person who constantly seeks self-improvement. So, you know, you and I were talking out there, just having a really good time. You would come up to me, hey, I did this technique that you showed me. I was like, how did it work? Oh, it was awesome. It was great. And, you know, as an instructor, like, that's kind of what you want to hear, like something that you taught actually really helped them out, because some things work for some people, some things don't. But you were willing to give it a test and it actually worked out in competition. But E, before we kind of get started into the questions, can you kind of give yourself an introduction?
Hi, I'm E. So it's very interesting. This is an interesting fact about me. Obviously, my name's not E, but that's how everybody knows me. And I've gone by E for, 10 plus years, more as a nickname, now an alias. But my real name is actually Elia. So Elia Schertz is my real name. I guess the best introduction I can give is I've just been competing a long time. I like competing in different things because I like challenging myself. But mostly I've just been an athlete my whole life, ever since high school. And it's because it's a passion of mine, I've just never been able to give it up. It's now become a hobby, and now I've done many different things. The biggest thing I did was compete in the CrossFit Games in 2018. So I competed in CrossFit a long time. And then just about a year ago, I started Tactical Games, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. But I'm a corrections officer. I've been a corrections officer about 8 years now. I've been a defensive tactics instructor at the jail for about 6.5 years. I'm the only female to have made our corrections response team. And I just got on the team about a year ago. So that's been a lot of fun. But I consider myself a lifelong learner, and that's why I came to the training that you hung out at with Gil. Cause I was just maximize my potential. And I think to do that, you have to be open to learning different things. And that's kind of why I showed up at that that tune-up right before the Tactical Games, to see if I could just even pick up one or two little things that maybe I don't know, you know, in shooting. Because I'm a little bit newer to shooting, my rifle anyways. Like, we learned to shoot a pistol at the jail, but rifle I completely am new to. So,
you know, speaking of that, like, how, going as a corrections officer, how much training do you guys get with pistol, and like how much follow-on training do you guys have available to you?
So when you initially get started at the jail, you get 40 hours. So you get like 2 weeks, and then they qualify you, and then you just qualify annually. So we don't get, well, we did just do a training. So I would say annually we qual, and then usually at least get another 48 hours, like a year, I guess, depending on, you know, during COVID, we had a lapse in our training because of like getting a group of people together. But for the most part, I would say 48 hours, 4 to 8 hours a year on pistol. So, and we do scenario based training and stuff like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you guys ever use any of the simulations like the Milo system? Or, you know, there's this one that I used years ago where, you know, it's basically like a 180 dome, and like they hooked a taser up to our belt loop, and if we got hit by the target, we got shot. Do they ever do anything like that?
Yes, we have, but it's not our simulation. Actually, the Spokane Police Department owns that simulation. And where we do our training is actually at the SPD range. Okay. So we have been able to go in and for training and use that. And you're right. Like there's like this little belt and there's a little zapper on there. And if if they hit you, you get zapped. So, you know, it's pretty cool. Like the simulation stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I hit the ground the first time I got zapped.
Yep, me too. And all my instructors
were like, what the hell?
All my instructors, because I was like new. So they all, you know, so they're all laughing and they're trying to like give me a hard time. But one instructor stood up for me and he was like, you know what, you guys? Even though she fell, he was like, she started firing from the ground and made her shots. And
I
was
hell
like,
yeah. Hell yeah.
I was new when that happened. So I was not expecting that. I didn't know what to expect. So it startled me. I was like, whoa. The zap was pretty intense.
Yep. Because like most of the time you just focus on what's in front of you and you fail to look at the corners. And that's where it came out from. Yep. Hit me. I went down, got back up, started shooting, got the hits. I was like, this sucks. But I mean, you know, that's in a real life situation, it's most likely to come from an angle that you don't see.
Absolutely. Like so for example, my simulation that happened to me, this van pulls up, but you're watching this lady at an ATM. She's getting money out of the ATM. And all of a sudden you see this van pull up. So now you're attempting to go through the van and you see this guy get out and he's like walking with purpose and he has like a mask on and you're like, oh, I see. He's going for the lady at the ATM. Right. So he gets her and he's like, give me all your money, and he has like a gun, and so now you're like giving him commands or whatever, but little do you know that he's got buddies in the van, so you're watching over here and that's what happens to you. So that's, you know, I'm pretty sure that got everybody, because you're all your attention goes over there.
It's only natural.
Yeah, and basically it's just to teach you, you know, watch your surroundings. There's more than just what's happening right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys do that in pairs or is it as a single officer?
The time that I did it, that scenario was just single.
Okay.
No.
I could see that being something that's tough. Mm-hmm. So you kind of already mentioned that you have a pretty diverse, you know, competitive background between, you know, basketball, track, college scholarship, placement in the CrossFit Games. Mm-hmm. How would you describe that you've changed as a competitor throughout your athletic history?
I think mostly probably how I've changed is mentally. We can talk about physically and mentally because both of them have changed drastically. I think physically, I just know my body better. Mm-hmm. Like when you're young, you're just kind of doing what you've been trained to do by your coach, or you're just doing what you're told to do by your coach. But now I'm my own coach. And so I have to know my own limitations. I have to know my own strengths and weaknesses and how to, you know, train specifically for those things. But I think mentally, there's just more of like a seriousness and a maturity to the way that I see competition, probably because of my experience. And I know that I'm not really young anymore. And so when I show up to a competition, I want to make sure that I'm taking this seriously. I want to have fun, but also I'm very regimented. I know what works for me and what doesn't work for me. Also, like if something goes wrong, like maybe I have like a bad event or something like that, I've learned very easily now just to like let it go, wash it away. And I know that sounds hard for some people, but with how many competitions I've done, I just learned that there's nothing that you have no control over what just happened and you can't change it.
Yep.
So if you want to get better and you want your event to actually turn out well, then you have to push that aside and go forward. So
no, I mean, you hit a really good point right there. And, you know, I did this whenever I was with the team, and it even happened to me, you know, and I'm still like this. If I had a bad stage, or if one of the guys have a bad stage, you know, they'd come off, they know they're like, they're visibly pissed off. And, you know, I just go up to them like, dude, you had one stage that was bad. You have 5 minutes to get this shit over with, sulk all you like, then move on and focus on the next stage. And as simple as that. And like, that's the type of mental, you know, processing you have to do, or it's going to ruin the rest of the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when, and honestly, my mentality and that maturity actually started when I started competing in big events in CrossFit. My first big individual event was actually the World Police and Fire Games back in, it was either 2016 or 17. And it was in, I think it was in Los Angeles. It was in California somewhere, or maybe San Diego. But I remember being very immature and I had brought like a friend and my wife with me. And so my friend was kind of my coach, and she was kind of helping coach that mentality in me. Right. And you know, so I feel like as I started to make mistakes, that's when you have the opportunity now to practice those new maturity in your mentality and stuff like that. And so now it doesn't seem so hard to be like, well, I can't control that, I'm moving on, and not let it bother me. Because back then it would bother me and bother me and bother me. And it was really hard to learn, but over the years it's gotten real easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, it just, it takes repetition. I think last week I was at a match, and first stage of the match, and I, you know, it just happened to be a shotgun jungle run. And I hate shotgun jungle runs just because they're not my strong suit. But this time I had some malfunctions with my shotgun. It just wasn't cycling the round every single time. Mm-hmm. So I was going into single shot mode. I get done with the stage and I'm kind of pissed, but I'm like, you knew this was going to be a bad stage. Just throw it out. Focus on the rest of the match. Threw some lube on the shotgun, and the next stage was like, hope the shotgun runs, should be good. Let's just focus on what I'm about to do. And everything went fine, you know. I try and do it to where I just have fun, but I still want to maintain some type of level of competitiveness.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And just like I said, with experience comes that maturity, because it builds the confidence, right?
Yep.
Like I'm practicing this mental maturity, and it turned out great, right? Like, had a bad event, but I practiced that mental maturity. I moved on, and hey, I won the whole event, right? So you're just like, that builds confidence in that, practicing that technique, being like, I've done it before, I can do it again, and it turns out good.
Yep. You know? No, absolutely. And that's one thing I think I like about the tactical games, because there are times where you're going to be doing something completely new and you have to adapt to what you're going to do. And you can't let that fluster you or get in your head, or it's just going to destroy you. You can break down a stage all you like, and you have to you have to go through a mental process of breaking the entire stage down, and just, you know, have that confidence in your ability.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, just being in the tactical games only like a year ish now. Mm-hmm. Everything's new.
Yeah.
So every competition I see myself growing, but my very first competition, woo, there was so many mistakes and so many frustrations, and I was so angry. And then, you know, I learned from that and it would get better. But so everything's new. Every time we do a two gun or this or that, I'm like, man, I just can't keep up. Like, so I can't, you know, they're thinking of newer things when I'm just trying to get, you know, get better at the things that I had just learned last competition. But right. That's great. It's helping me grow and growing quickly. I'm trying to grow quickly.
Yeah. For me, it's building that engine. You know, I would say I have a decent cardio system, but now you're asking me to throw a 100-pound sandbag over a bar for 2 minutes. It's like, what
that's
the hell?
Buddy.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, yeah, it's cruel. It's just cruel.
That's one of those pancake workouts. That's just where, like, it doesn't matter who you are, because that type of workout depends on how fast you're going to go, right?
Yep.
Whatever your level of fitness is. And so one person can be going a certain pace and that's their 100%. Another person going a different pace, that's their 100%. It's going to get everybody the same way. You're going to gas. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I've been consistently competing in tactical division this year. And I've only been doing the team events. I enjoy the team aspect, and you know, I've really only had time to do the team events. And I find those just extremely fun. You know, you and a friend just being miserable together, is what I call it. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can learn a lot about each other and just pushing each other and just have fun doing it. But my first team event this year, I was with a friend, John Bodziak. He is 26 years old. I am 40 years old. So, you know, we were pushing each other, and like, you know, I know physically he was carrying the load, but I mean, we worked really well together, and like, we're both pretty strong. And then this last one, I competed with a friend, Ian Norris, and he's 38. I'm 40. So, you know, I could be going to the masters division, but I've been hanging out with the tactical division, and you know, I like the idea of I can still keep up with the younger guys, just because I'm not that old, you know. My body's been through a lot of shit, but I can still keep doing the stuff I love to do. Anyways, I think Masters 40 is filled with a bunch of elite athletes who decided to retire.
Really? I'll have to keep my eye on that division then. Go and watch them a little bit more.
Nathan Drum?
Oh, yes, yes. Is he Masters? He dropped down to Masters, huh?
Well, I think he's still doing elite, but...
could be Masters, yes. Is what you're saying? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty fit too. He's a big dude, like big and strong, but he can move. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would not want to get in a fight with him.
No way.
I'll just run.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. He can run too.
Yeah. He's a nice guy though. Super nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's one of those guys who just, you know, he's a dude. He gets along with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, in speaking of the tactical games, can you describe your first impressions and how did some of those conceptions change after you attended your first game?
Oh, my first tactical games. It was in Bend, Oregon. I don't know if you ever saw pictures of that tactical games, but there was like a dust storm, and it was crazy, and it was so dusty out there. It was like sand, like the dirt was like sand. And coming from a CrossFit background where you're like indoors and it's like air conditioned and you get to like stay clean, I was like filthy. And every time I come back from an event, I'd be like, I need the baby wipes. I need to clean up. And there's a couple gals next to me, Katie, I don't know her last name, but she just thought it was hilarious. They were like, just, this is what it's like. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it's always this dirty. And I do have to say that I have gotten used to it, but also there's not been a dirtier place than Bend, Oregon. Hmm. So, but other than that, my first experience, I guess going into it, I knew that it was fitness and firearms competition. And so I had a good grip on fitness. But I did not realize like how skilled I would have to be as a marksman or just in shooting or just the knowledge that I would have to have. So I knew that I needed to learn how to like shoot my rifle. So I did ask a friend to kind of show me some things. Dave, he was pretty cool and showed me, and I did do, that class that was in Texas. It was like an athlete camp. Training thing. Yeah. Athlete camp. Yeah. And so that was super helpful. But when I went, I didn't realize, like, I didn't know anything about like my holds for like distance rifle. And I remember the very first event was like long distance rifle. And it was, but you had to shoot fast because you only had 2 minutes and you had like, I don't know, the targets were like five targets. You had to hit them twice, then move and hit the same targets twice again. And then you had to shoot your pistol. And I was like, I think I only got 30 shots off in like 2 minutes. And I don't think I hit anything. And they're like, your time's done. Go ahead and go on your run. And I was like, And I remember coming back after my run being like, I totally blew that. I didn't realize like the knowledge I needed to have. And so that kind of same scenario just kind of kept showing up like each event, like learning, wow, I didn't know I needed to know this. Okay. Mental note, I'm going to practice that when I get back home. Like we did the action speed shooting and I was like, wow, I need to learn how to shoot doubles quickly on target. Like, and just like my manipulations, my magazine changes and, you know, stuff like that, how to like have my rifle sling it and pull up my pistol, like very simple, I guess, things that I didn't know I needed to practice. So I just realized it was a lot. There was a lot more skill in it than I thought that I was going to need to have, I guess, but turned out good. I took third in that competition. I didn't think that I was going to podium at all. So, but it turned out good and it was fun and it was a great learning experience, but I will never forget my first tactical games because it was crazy.
Oh, I remember my first one. It's, you know, it's where me and Frank got pretty close. Like I met Frank months prior, at least 6 months prior, at the Marine Corps marksmanship competitions, and him and I talked and we even mentioned that we were going to be going to a tactical games together. At the same time, back whenever they did it at like Panthera, and it was their first team event. And, you know, it was me and a friend, Bob, who was on the higher side of 40 at the time. And it was a 5.5 mile run and in the middle of the day. And I have always had a problem with hydration. Doesn't matter. My entire Marine Corps career, I don't ever drink enough water. And that time, it almost bit me in the ass. Like, I should have went down. Like, somebody brought electrolytes with them and handed me some, and I just got them down, and that saved my life. And because in my career, I think I was a heat case twice. Pretty sure I got rhabdo once, too. We got dropped off at 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of nowhere, and we had to go through, we had to land nav our way through an entire event. And we didn't get back until about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I had the entire day, I did not eat anything. I think I ate some pretzels and then drank a canteen of water. That was it. And I made it. I did not like go down like I could have, but I just remember not being able to sleep that night, going into convulsions through every like 2 minutes, and my wife waking up saying, "You need to go to the hospital." No, I'm not going. I was in a course. I had to get through the course. If I went to the hospital, I would have been dropped from the course. I was like, "I'm gonna suck it up, get through this tonight." So that's just knowing that. That was close at that event, but it's like, okay, let me hydrate. Let me do everything I need to do. And let me get through this tactical games event. And, you know, here I am, I'm still coming back to it, still having fun. And I'm doing it a lot smarter than what I did before.
Yeah. Did you happen to compete or in nationals last year?
No, I haven't.
Did you hear about the ruck run that we did last year?
I did.
Well, I'm running a lot more now because of that experience, but I remember it was like 4 miles. Somebody said it was 4.5 miles, 4 miles ish with like for the women, like a 30-pound ruck, mm-hmm. but also it had rained that yes. morning or whatever. So the 30-pound ruck turned into however much weight because it was soaking wet. Mm-hmm. So, and we were running through mud. And so it was like 4.5 miles with the ruck and then 4.5 miles back without the ruck. And I was getting severe, muscle cramps yep. on the way back. It was in like Charlie horse. They were terrible. So like, and I had taken like electrolytes and water and some of those gummies with me because I knew it was going to be a long ways. But
yeah, I hate running. when I retire, I was like, I'm never running again. Here I am. I'm still running.
Running. Yeah. Running's good for you. I mean,
yeah.
I do more of it now because I know that we run a lot in the tactical games, and I think I'm getting better at it.
I still try to maintain, like, before an event, I will do I'll increase the mileage, but yeah, as maintaining right now. So I have nothing really going on, probably up until next year. So it's like, okay, I'm going to run maybe 2 miles at most and just maintaining with that. And I do it with the flak, and I actually enjoy running with the flak now because I have this pouch on my flak and just throw my phone in there, put some tunes on and just go. I don't know. My last couple years in the Marine Corps, I was in the 3 mile club where all I did was run 3 miles once a year. And that was for my physical fitness test. And it worked out. It worked out for me. But, you know, I'm running a lot more now, and I'm actually enjoying it. There's more sights to see.
Yep. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I never liked running either, but I am learning to enjoy it myself. Yeah.
I'll never do a marathon now.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
I did it once. I was 18 years old. I just wanted to say I did it, and I won't go back.
Wow.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I ran into an ultra marathoner, or like a, maybe, I can't remember what he called it, but like that to me is insane. Like, I know that sometimes people think CrossFitters are insane, but I'm like, no, ultra marathon, like that kind of stuff, Ironman stuff to me is, that's insane. Like,
The furthest I ran was back when I was 21 years old. I was in super good running shape. I loved running back then. I kind of got that bug when I was in Washington State. You know, Steve Prefontaine, read his story, watched the movie, all that kind of stuff. And so I was running twice a day. I was swimming and I was lifting. And that was with all the time in between work. And so it was great. I got down to a 16:33 mile. I got my half marathon time down to 1 hour and 25 minutes. You know, I loved it. And I wanted to keep doing it, but then I went to Iraq, and, you know, Iraq just brought all its other set of problems of, you know, moon dust and grenades and, smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day didn't help out. You know, I'm off the cigarettes, cigarettes. Yeah. Been off the cigarettes for a long time, but I just never got those speeds back. But no, I hate running now. My knees hurt. So you already mentioned that you've podiumed, and you've podiumed multiple times. And, you know, talking about CrossFit Games and everything, how do you train now? What's a typical training cycle like now whenever you're training for the tactical games?
Well, leading up to the tactical games, it's just like pedal to the metal. Like, yeah. It's just go hard. But when I have a little bit, I would say that would be like a month to like a games, where if I have a little bit more than a month, then I can kind of relax a little bit and fit in some other things that I think need attending to, like, you know, if I find some weaknesses at the last competition or competitions prior, I can like really focus on those. But just kind of back to the seriousness of like and maturity of like competition and training. I mean, I train to win so that when I go to a competition, my goal or my, you know, I don't want to say goal, but I would like to win. But I understand that being consistent is probably just as important to me. So I've also made it a goal to be like, you know, you're going there to win, but if that's not what's going to happen, then I think the best thing to do would be to podium. And I would like to try to stay consistent with that, because truly winning is very difficult. And in all my time competing and being a competitor, it's been far and few in between that I've actually won a competition. So when I win, I try to really like appreciate that and take note about, you know, just enjoy the moment. But it's far and few in between, and it's hard to do. So
would you
go ahead.
Would you say whenever you train, do you train to events that are specific to the tactical games, or do you do more just CrossFit type movements?
Oh, that's a good question. So because I come from a CrossFit background, I will do a lot of a CrossFit stuff, but when it's closer to the competition is when I kind of transition. So I would say I'm like 60-40, 60% like leading up to a competition, I'm doing more tactical games specific type movements. So a lot more carries, a lot more sandbag things, a lot more running, a lot more ruck running. And then if I'm a little further away from a competition, I can relax a little bit and focus on like my clean and jerk, you know, stuff like that, that I do also think is important, because I do think clean and jerk, you know, will transfer over like, you know, your power and your speed and stuff like that to lifting up a sandbag. So, but yeah, definitely more specific when it comes TTG specific when it comes to closer to competition time.
Do you tend to tailor your workouts out off a week to 2 weeks prior?
Kind of like a deload. I would say anywhere from like 7 to 10 days leading up to a competition, I will deload.
Right.
My volume and the percentage of weight that I'm lifting. But it's still important to make sure that you're still have like high intensity. Even though I'm doing less volume, you still want to make sure that whatever you're doing is still a good intensity. There's good focus behind the work that you're doing.
What is your on the marksmanship side of the house? What does that piece look like whenever it comes to training?
So I will make a list of the things that I believe that need to be tended to based on how I performed in the last few events or what I feel like needs work on. I do use the Tactical Games training app from Sal, his dry fire program. So I, you know, have some dry fire stuff that I can work on in between. But there are some specific things that I try to like go out and do, like I try to do a little bit more distance rifle, or recently, probably a couple months ago, I realized that I really needed to get better at like action shooting, because we were kind of doing a little bit more of that. And I think I realized that when I went to Florence, Texas in March. They had a couple of stages that were very just like USPSA type, like moving, and everybody understood the idea of like how to like create like a plan for like which targets and what angles. And I was like very new to that, and I didn't really quite understand how to attack that. Even though I did okay, I wanted to feel more confident. So I sought out a place that I could try to go and do a little bit more of that type shooting. But lots more dry fire. And then I try to get out probably at least once a week, if not once every other week, and do live fire shooting leading up to a competition.
No, that's awesome. And I, you know, I do the same approach, and it's the smartest approach. Take what you struggled with the most at the previous event and apply it to your training for the next event. Because mm-hmm. more often than not, you are going to see it, especially if you do the same type of competitions consistently. Yeah. And I mean, that's how we used to train on the Marine Corps shooting team. You know, where did we screw up? You know, and people were like, I need a dedicated, you know, 2 or 3 month training cycle. And it's just like, I can't provide you that. Well, why not? Well, because it's going to be based off of what we just did or what we're going to do. We're going to take what we screwed up and get better at that while maintaining everything else we're trying to maintain. And, you know, when you explain it like that, people are like, okay, now I kind of understand where you're getting at. And so then they kind of get off your back. But no, it is the smartest approach to take.
Yeah. I have also found that a lot of times it's back to the basics.
Yep.
And a lot of times because I'm newer to this sport and I'm just kind of getting going and I'm just understanding, there's so much gear out there, right? And so when I first started, I was using a specific holster, a specific belt, like very specific things. And then as time went on, I changed my holster and I changed my belt. And every time you change something, it, you know, it changed my craft. Yeah. So now I changed my draw. So now where do I hold my hand? How do I draw? And we, you know, me and Frank were kind of talking earlier about like, or he might've been, too, but with a skill based sport with like shooting, like the thing, everything has to be very similar and the same and repetitive to make sure that you're going to get that same type of result. And so I've changed my holster probably 3 or 4 times. And so I've had to practice my draw. And my gun has, you know, recently changed the last few competitions. So now I'm practicing my trigger press and my grip, and because the gun's bigger in my hand now. And so always back to the basics.
Yep. And I mean, even when I do training sessions now, it's kind of like, all right, let me do the fundamental level training. Let me do the slow shooting. Let me get the accuracy in, and then let me go play and have fun shooting fast, missing fast, hitting fast.
Right. Yeah. Finding that line. So then you're like, okay, I was hitting. Oh, now I'm missing. Okay. Now I'm going a little fast. Okay.
Yep.
Rein it in just a little bit. Okay. That's where I need to train. Right.
And that, you know, what you said about changing gear, like a lot of people, especially like three gun is filled with people who are just, there are a lot of people who like just chase different gear and different brands and want the latest and the newest thing. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And not everybody's like that, but there are a lot of people in the three gun community that can be like that. And I've been using the same holster for about 5 years now, 4 to 5 years now. Mm-hmm. I've been using the same belt for 4 to 5 years. The placement of my magazines haven't changed. I've been using the same shotgun for past 4 years. I recently switched to my rifle whenever Double Star sponsored me, but it's like, you know, and I've changed, like I changed to a new optic because I wanted a better optic, but everything for over the past 6-7 years has stayed consistent because now I'm just that much better and I don't have to learn something new.
Right. And I think the reason, unfortunately, why I have changed so many times is because I started with, you know, for the tactical
game. You don't know what you don't know at the time.
Yeah, you don't know. And honestly, it's gun sports, shooting sports are expensive. So if you put your foot in the door, you know, utilize the equipment that you have, or if somebody can donate something to you and get started, right? But then as time has gone on and I've gotten some sponsorships and I'm trying out different pieces of their gear and really trying to hone in, like, what do I like the best? What works the best? I've had to change several different times, but it's getting better and better. And I hope I can get to the point where you are, where it's like, I have found exactly what I like. This is what it is. Like,
oh, trust me. Whenever I first started, it's like, oh, I want this and I want this. And so I was that guy who did go through a few different things and did, you know, it's expensive, you know, but it's a learning process. And I think it's part of it. It's part of the quote unquote journey. Right. But I mean, one thing I tell people now is like, hey, get with a community of people that will let you try out the different things. That way you can actually see what you do and you don't like.
Yeah,
and that helps the growth immensely. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons why I like doing the instructional piece. You know, I like teaching people because now I can help develop them a lot faster than what I myself developed. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to make the same mistakes that I did, because there are a lot of them.
I find, you know, sometimes I've been instructed by like people not in the tactical games, but like outside the tactical games, I've been given instruction by people and they give me just their opinion about what is the best, instead of giving me, this is the information. There's, you know, these different types of things. This is what a curved trigger would do. This is what a flat face trigger would do. So, you know, try it out for yourself instead of them just being like, this is what you need because this is the best because this is what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I tell people, hey, there's many different ways to do things. There's many different pieces of gear you can get. You know, try them all out, like in a class. Hey, try everybody's stuff out. If they'll let you shoot it, see what you like. And But you said something there, like people that are outside of the shooting sports. It just made me think of like being in a gun shop and the quintessential guy behind the gun counter, mm-hmm. just saying, "Oh, well, you should get this because this is the best thing," or this, and it just made me think of what's it called, Parks and Rec with Ron Swanson. Whenever he goes into like the hardware store, "Can I help you? I know more than you. Go away."
Yeah, or just at least I know myself and I know what works for me. And the thing is, I've said that to people before, like, you know, and it's like, "Oh, well, you're wrong because I know I'm the smarter and I've been doing this longer." And I'm just like, "Yeah, well, I'm actually out there trying mm-hmm. these things out and I know this is what works for me."
Yep.
So.
And a lot of people don't realize that, "Oh, well, this is the best rifle because they use this, 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 this." It's like, "Cool, dude. Well, I don't want that. And I know it's not going to work for me because this is what I've been accustomed to using."
Yeah.
So we kind of mentioned you're corrections officer in Spokane County. How much of your training and equipment matches what you use for your current job?
Funnily enough, I wish more of it matched, but not much of it matches, to be honest. I wish we ran all my Black Hawk holsters. I freaking love. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. But at work, I don't want this to sound bad, but we run like a Safariland holster that I personally don't like that much. It's a very specific type, but there are good Safariland holsters out there, and there are plenty of people that like them.
Yep.
I just don't like the one that we use comparative to the one that I use in the tactical games. And I haven't been given a very straight answer about if I can change it over, because I have tried to ask before and I haven't been given a very good answer. But so we, and I don't run the same plate carrier, unfortunately, even though I really like it. So, but I would have to say, if we're talking about training, how much of my training matches over to like what I do at work, I would say a lot of it. So like staying fit, right, for the job. I mean, for CRT and for all those kinds of things, that's really important. Being a defensive tactics instructor, like, got to stay fit. And then just knowing how to use my weapons, use them properly, how to if ever I was in a situation, stuff like that. But
would you say the mindset between all the other officers you work with in those specific duties kind of carry over with those same tenets and traits?
What do you mean by that?
Like, you're part of like more specialized teams where it's a lot harder to get onto. Do a lot of the other officers have the same mindset with how they
training and stuff?
Yeah.
I would say more of the officers, yes. Like, we do a lot more training specific. So like all of our CRT members, we do a lot more training than any of the other like officers in the jail, because we're a very specialized team and we're called out to do special things that the other officers don't or can't do. So we need to be more knowledgeable in how we approach, riot situations or in the jail or outside of the jail. We do a lot of training with the police department in case they need us for like mobile booking is what we call it. Or if we're also going to help with like a riot situation downtown or something like that. But yeah, we do a lot of stuff. And so I think those guys take it a little bit more seriously to make sure they're getting their weightlifting in or a little bit more cardio in and stuff like that. So we have training once a month.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. So my question for you is, Washington's pretty far away from a lot of the competitions that you've went to. I know you went to the one in Oregon, but since you've gone to nationals, Matt met you at West Virginia. So we've talked a lot about what you've learned as an athlete and as a shooter, but what have you learned as a traveler, especially traveling with all those guns and ammo?
It's a lot to travel with, to be honest. That was definitely a learning curve. We had to do a lot of research on the airlines, like how we were able to, like, you know, how the firearm needed to be packaged, what kind of a container it could be in. There could be no ammunition in it, how they were going to look inside of it and stuff like that. We also since we fly, we have to take the ammo with us, and ammo is heavy. So their stipulations are you can't have more than 11 pounds of ammo per bag. And so we usually have to split the ammo up. And then we're like, we've gotten this like little weigher for each of our luggages to make sure that they're not over 50 pounds. And so our packing has become very strategic, and there's no extra anything. And we have exactly what we need. Like, we've had to get very smart in, cause everybody brings like, when I show up to the tactical games, everybody has so much gear that a lot of times these people are wheeling a wagon behind them. You see that? And, or they have like their pop-up tents. Like, unfortunately, me and Teresa can't travel with those types of things. So we've had to get very strategic and smart about how we are going to be there at the tactical games, with very little amount of things. So we usually take a backpack cooler. We'll pack a backpack cooler. Or we'll go to a supermarket and just get like a styrofoam cooler. We usually rent an SUV that's fairly decently large so that we can open up the back. We'll put a tarp down and we set it up so that we can like hide out in there from the sun if we need to. So just very, very strategic about how we're traveling. Some good tips probably for some people out there. But.
Yeah, you mentioned the little luggage scale. I would also add that that's also helpful for making sure that your plate carrier meets the weight requirement. Because I'm sure you can all relate. You see athletes stuffing quarters and other part of my language bullshit into their plate carriers the day of. And it's like, hey, try this now. He's like, dude, you need another like 10th of a pound. So it's better to just avoid all that silliness. You mentioned Teresa. Is that your wife? Does she travel with you to a lot of these?
Oh yeah, Teresa goes everywhere I go. She's amazing. She wears many different hats. She arranges all the travel. She figures out where we're staying. She sets up the Airbnb. She registers me for the tactical games. She's like my manager basically too.
That's pretty dope.
So she really helps me out because she takes care of all those things. So I can really just kind of focus on making sure that my training's right, my eating's right, and that I'm ready to go day of, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned like, I guess it was like the police and fire games that you participated in. Has she always kind of fulfilled that role for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's the coolest. She's the most supportive person, very genuine, easy to get along with, very funny. And she goes everywhere I go. So she was right there with me since day one of any of the traveling and competing I've ever done. The only time she didn't travel with me was I did a couple of camps. I went out the summer of 2018, trained with like Ben Bergeron, Katrin, Brooke Wells, like a couple of them like leading up to the games. And then I also traveled out to Training Think Tank and did a camp out there. So those were two different times she didn't come, but every competition I've been to, she comes to.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely wanted to bring it up because the next question is about sponsorships, but I wanted to make sure that we highlighted the most important support system first. But about sponsorship. So currently sponsored by Under Armour and Blackhawk. How did those partnerships come about? And then do you have any advice for athletes that might be seeking some kind of brand support for their passions?
Yeah, honestly, both of those sponsorships happen very organically and just very naturally, which is, I feel like, the best way. I met Casey, who worked for Blackhawk at the time, at Bend, Oregon. So that was my very first competition. I just happened to be wearing, I received for my birthday, because I asked for it, a Blackhawk plate carrier. Because I always saw Zach, you know, wearing Zach Rodman. He was sponsored by Blackhawk. So I was like, oh, I got to get a Blackhawk plate carrier because Zach wears one. So I was given that for my birthday. And then I was wearing it at the Bend, Oregon competition. And they had a sprint O course. And so as soon as they said 3, 2, 1, go, like I shot out. I did my sprint and I came back. And I guess Blackhawk tent had been sitting like right there. So Casey watched me run this obstacle course and would, you know, was like, oh, who is that? Who's wearing our Blackhawk plate carrier? So then she just came and talked to me. We struck up a relationship and just kind of was like, hey, maybe we can build a relation through like maybe a partnership, you know, maybe I will help support Blackhawk and we can get to know each other. And after that year was when they were like, we might be looking to sponsor somebody else for the tactical games. Would you be interested? And so that's kind of how that one came about. And then with Under Armour, that kind of happened at the beginning of the year. There was a big announcement that Under Armour was going to be the main sponsor of the tactical games, which was huge and great news for the tactical games.
Yep.
So it was very exciting. And it just so happened that at that event, there was a couple, Chris Cook was there, and I think a couple of the other Under Armour guys. And they were just kind of mingling and talking to the athletes. And I just had happened to have a conversation with him, and it went really well. And then, I don't even know how much long later, he just kind of reached out to me and extended an invite to like possibly become like a sponsored athlete. And so I just felt like very blessed in both of those situations that would happen to me. So in saying all that, I guess if I was going to give advice to anybody looking for a sponsorship, it would just to be yourself, be genuine, right? Put your best foot forward. If you know that you're having a conversation with maybe somebody from a company, they're probably having a conversation with you for a reason. But if you're just, they're looking for a good-hearted person. They want somebody that's going to be loyal to them, that's going to stay with them, that's going to work hard for them. And I think just put your best foot forward, I guess. And if it's meant to be, it'll be. That's all I did. And I just, you know, I let them know that I was going to work hard for them. And I try to stay true to that by making sure that my training's good, that my diet's good, and that I'm doing as best as I can in each competition.
Yeah, really happy of how that worked out for you, and appreciate you sharing with us how you got those partnerships. Want to, you know, come back specifically to the game. So there's a certain level like implements that are, you know, recurring, and they're always adding new ones. And as athletes, we tend to develop love-hate relationships with these. So what's your most loved and what's your most hated? They don't necessarily have to be exclusive. They can be the same implement. What's the love hate for you?
I definitely love the strongman sandbag. Strongman sandbag's the best. It's kind of like lifting weights. I like lifting weights. So we use strongman sandbags for carries, put them over a bar, put them up on our shoulder, run with them. So those are definitely my favorite. I like flinging them around. And then probably my most hated implement is the wheelbarrow.
Yeah, it doesn't show up often, but when it does, you can guarantee that your grip's going to give out several times.
Yeah, I can specifically think back to the event in Mississippi. It was the last event. You had to do the shooting wasn't even that much. You had to shoot, and then you had to like run and get your wheelbarrow. And the wheelbarrow, I don't even remember how long it was. It had to have been like 400 meters plus. And you had to like wheel it down around this like lake. And then on the way back, it was like this slow, long, like uphill. And I just remember, I never put the wheelbarrow down, but it was like mentally the hardest thing that I've had to do in a very, very long time. I will never forget it. And I kept being like, don't put it down, don't put it down. I'd like look back to see how close people were. And I'm like, don't put it down. And then I was on the hill and I was like, if you put it down now, you're going to have to like double time it because you're on a hill. So I was like, now you've really screwed yourself. You really can't put it down. So I just remember just closing my eyes and just trying to like trudge all the way up that hill. And by the time I made to the top of the hill was the first time I set that wheelbarrow down, and I only had like probably like 15 years left.
Oh, jeez.
But that was excruciating. I don't know how to like describe how that event felt mentally, physically, but it was the hardest thing I've had to do in a very long time.
Yeah. I've had to deal with a wheelbarrow before, and it's always sucked. I can't imagine like even the slightest incline, like Sisyphus Simulator 2.0 right there. That sounds terrible.
The best part about those wheelbarrows too is they're kind of like makeshift, right? So they put like a 45-pound like rubber plate on the end, and they like duct tape the side of it so it just kind of stays on, and it kind of like wobbles. So you're just like,
it's those slight like deviations from like the straight line movement that get you.
Right.
Like you go to one side, you overcorrect too much, and it's just like it saps your grip strength, it saps your strength. Totally. And then by the end of it, it's just like, yeah, no, that's Yeah, good choice. Would definitely hate that thing too. But we've covered a lot, you know. We've covered your background and a lot about how you prepare for the games, your support system. And I know that you have nationals coming up, but what's on the horizon for you, like into the next year? I know that Tactical Games hasn't really released its schedule. I'm sure you're going to be at a lot of those, but are you going to branch into other disciplines, or what else you got going on?
I haven't really thought about other disciplines. It would be interesting though, like you come from the USPSA background. I mean, I have heard about, tactical games people going over that way just to kind of, test out their skills or figure out some weaknesses, like how can I get better type thing. So I would be open to doing something like that. I haven't picked anything in particular, but that does pique my interest. And you're right, the Tactical Games hasn't released much, and so I'm not really sure which events I'm going to. But I don't know if I'll be traveling much this winter. I kind of started early this year because I wanted to go to Mississippi, but traveling from Washington way to the east side in the winter was difficult with like snow, and we've had a couple travel nightmares. So that's kind of up in the air, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I will do a USPSA or maybe just something along those lines.
Yeah, it's likely that there's something very local to you, probably a
Yeah.
pretty good match. So I would just search on Practice Core, and the USPSA website also has a function. But there's some really good shooters in Washington. Christian Seiler, who's taken several national and world championships, and also Hwan-Sik Kim, who also teaches. And it's also, you mentioned tactile athletes getting into these sports. I would say that Sal Hernandez has benefited a lot. Like, he is going out there and he's holding his own at USPSA matches, and it's clearly transitioned very well to his shooting.
Yeah, he's incredibly talented.
So if you can find something within like an hour from you, that's probably a lot better than
Traveling.
taking, I don't, how many connecting flights did it take you to get to Mississippi?
Two.
Okay, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad, but it was a nightmare. We've had a couple,
That's yeah, especially in February. Some of
Yep.
those hub airports are not fun to fly through.
Yeah.
But hey, we appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge and sharing who you are with us at this point. Anything else that you'd like to leave with the audience?
I mean, just if you're interested in the tactical games, you should definitely try it out. I feel like it is still in its infant stages, and we are making big growth. So now is the time to like kind of get in and test it out, test out the waters. And people are crazy nice. Anybody would help you out if you had a question or a gear malfunction. I've met some really, really awesome people through the tactical games, and just made some really good connections. So. And especially girls, like I know I've talked to many of females around here, just in the gym world, right across it. And I'm like, you're fit, like you just need to learn a little bit of shooting, but you could totally do this, and it's a lot of fun. And just not to be scared and just take it as a journey and just try it out, you know.
Yeah,
Always need more people, always need more girls.
it's such a great community. The one time that I volunteered, the female athletes were always the easiest to work with. But some of them probably listening, I don't really care. But the male elites were definitely like the worst. They're just like looking over your shoulder as you're counting all their shots. But like, dude, the women's elite were always, they were just so chill, and they were just such a delight to work with.
Yeah.
But hey, thanks again for your time. For
Yeah,
those of
for
you
sure.
listening, we'll put up some contact info for E and also for the Tactical Games in general. We hope you enjoy this content. We are going to continue to spotlight Tactical Games athletes. Please, as the Nationals comes up, definitely look out for E's name. I'm sure she's going to do great, along with Nathan Drubb and some of the other athletes that we're going to have on in the future. And if you have questions, hit us up, let us know how we're doing, and thanks for listening.